see you all out again. Sunday school teachers have their hands full. It's like the feeding of 5,000 all over again. That's wonderful, Hansa. It's a great joy to see so many people, young people, in Sunday school. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew. And the 11th chapter. And we'll read three very well-known verses, the final three verses of this chapter. Matthew chapter 11, and we'll begin reading at verse 28. The Word of God tells us these things. The Lord Jesus Christ himself speaks, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Father, we thank thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one whom Isaiah describes as the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity. But turn to mankind and say, "I am meek and lowly in heart." We thank thee, Father, that this is our Savior and this is our friend. This is the one in whom we have believed. And as Paul in the New Testament tells us, we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. We ask thee, Father, this morning that thou wilt enlighten our minds, spur our hearts on, keep us ever following hard after thee, that in a coming day we may hear those glorious words emanating from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of thy master." Bless us while we wait upon thee. We think of those who would have loved to have gathered themselves together with us this morning and were not able because of sickness. And we pray for them, Father. We ask thee that thou wilt indeed pour the balm of Gilead upon their very souls this morning. Be close and near and dear to them. For those who travel, for those who are away from us, we pray, Father, that thou wilt keep them safe and indeed allow them to return to us in coming days. Bless us again while we wait upon thee, and we ask thee, Father, that thou wilt indeed use thy Spirit to lift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ up and him alone. These things we ask in his name. Amen. Well, this is a very little study. Last week you'll remember that we talked about belief. Abraham believed. This week we're going to take two sets of seven, and really, we're not going to do any of the passages justice. Mind you, to do passages of Scripture justice, the Bible tells us very clearly, will take an eternity. But we won't take an eternity from you this morning. What we will do is look at seven things this morning and seven things this evening. And hopefully it'll spur your own heart to do your own study. You'll remember that one of the things that the enemies of the people of the Lord did in the Old Testament was they stopped up the wells of Jacob. I'll take the time to turn back to it. And the people went without. But the interesting thing is, when the children of Israel went back and dug the wells of Jacob out for themselves with their own hands, the water was even sweeter the second time. There's a spiritual principle to be learned there. It's wonderful to have people provide food for us from the Word of God. But you know, it's an altogether different thing to dig that food out for ourselves. It satisfies the soul on a much, much higher level. You know, the wonderful thing about our Savior is that he is a personal Savior. This morning, if we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we have not, the Bible tells us, followed cunningly devised fables. We have not placed our trust in a creed. We have not placed our faith in a council of men. We have not placed our trust in a government. We have not placed our hope for the future against that day. The Bible writer tells us very clearly, in anything other than a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the old prophet, very ancient in days, sat there in the temple seeking the face of the Lord. We're not told how many years. He was there, no doubt, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And one day, a babe in the arms of his mother entered into the temple. You know, sometimes we think of these things as being, that we read in the Word of God as being something in and of themselves extraordinary. But you know, it must have been just like any other woman holding any other child. But the revelation of the Lord fell upon him that day and he realized. And that old man made a statement. When he looked at the babe, he said, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." The salvation of the Lord is not in anything other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning in the will of the Lord, what I'd like to do is to look at seven places throughout the Bible where we come face to face with this individuality that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was able to say, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And there are seven occasions at least, I'm sure there are more, but we'll look at these seven, where the Lord Jesus Christ calls to people and uses the word "me" in reference to himself. And this is the first one here in verse 28 of this chapter. "Come unto me." And you know, this is the first step. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Have you ever had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ? In the Old Testament, there are many areas where great relief and release fell upon the children of Israel. You remember that they left Egypt in a fantastic fashion. 2 million people, at least, crossed over dry ground in the Red Sea. I don't know how many of you have been watching the news lately. It's a little hobby of mine. I like to try and watch it a little. But there was a French liner, Air France, went down just as it left Egypt. And you know where it went down? It went down in the Red Sea. And the interesting thing, I remember sitting there through the week listening to the commentator, and he said this. He says, Sharm el-Sheikh is a resort. That's, remember, where the president went. President Bush had a little resort there with dignitaries. And apparently this is a mecca for divers. Some of the most beautiful coral reefs and fish. And for those who like to dive, I tend to get seasick, so I stay away from things associated with deep water. But they're absolutely gorgeous. And the commentator made this statement. He says, you know, in a land filled with divers, it's interesting how this plane has gone down in a place that is too deep for any diver to reach, and they had to call in submarines, automated devices to get down that far to find this black box in the plane that had gone down. And I stopped and I thought, well, this is my God, and this is my Savior. He caused 2 million people to walk on dry ground through the Red Sea. It's amazing. And these things really took place. There was a day in history when the feet of men walked on a seabed, dry as a bone. Amazing. And there are times in history where there was great relief and release from the people of God, But you know, there were some unbelieving feet that trod that path. There were amongst the children of Israel, the Bible says, a group of people who followed after. They were intrigued. How is it that this group of renegade slaves could free themselves without shedding blood or violence from the strongest nation in the world of the day? And so much so that when the people were leaving, the Egyptians took everything out of their pockets and threw it after them. How did they build that golden calf in the middle of the wilderness? There were no mines. They received all these gifts from the Egyptians. They were happy to see them go. They said, on your way, go, leave us. We've seen the hand of the Lord amongst us on your behalf, and we don't want to have anything to do with it. And there were people who followed after these things, who followed after the material benefits, who followed after the spiritual comfort, who followed after the children of God, but they did not follow after God himself. They did not choose the God of heaven. They chose the social things that went around with the people of God. You know, the sad thing is, in a coming day, there will be those who have sat in pews and warmed many a bench of many a chapel, and yet they have never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he himself, no other, says this, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Have you ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not talking about coming to the chapel, although that's a good thing. We're not talking about reading your Bible in a particular pattern. That's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to read through the Bible. I commend it to anyone and everyone. We're not talking about making sure that we give grace before every meal, although that's a wonderful thing as well. None of these things are in any way wrong. As a matter of fact, they're right. But none of them can vitiate or take the place of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you hearken back to a moment in time, just like the Israelites did, just like the Hebrews, and say, I know that God caused me to pass through on dry ground. My feet trod that ocean bed. Have you ever had a personal experience like that? Come unto me. It's not about coming unto the pastor. It's not about coming to a preacher. It's not about coming to a chapel or an elder, although any of those things can help you along the way by explaining God's word. We don't want to take away from any of these. But it has to be face to face with Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen? Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our time is flying. The second thing that the Lord Jesus calls us to is in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I wish we had time to get into that phrase. I am meek and lowly in heart. Boy, you know, if there was ever anyone who had the right not to be lowly, it was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he chose the humble place. The Lord Jesus Christ was able to say of himself that he was meek. To be very clear, it doesn't say weak. It says meek. Probably the best definition that I've heard of meekness is strength cloaked. And he says, come, learn of me. Well, if the Lord says, come unto me for salvation, he says, learn of me with regards to discipleship. And he uses a very particular example, something that would have been well known to the people of the day. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, we were in a home last night and very graciously received, and we were talking a little bit about cattle. And because of where I was raised, I have some knowledge of cattle. Not as much as others, but I have a little bit of knowledge. The day is far gone where we use cattle to do our task in the field. Now we have combines and machinery and all kinds of things that are absolutely magnificent and can do the work in far shorter a time. But in the day and age of the Lord Jesus Christ, the idea is that it was absolutely necessary for day-to-day life to tend the fields. And the Lord says, and uses a very common day place example, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What they would do to teach an animal, a young animal, say for example, you just purchased a young animal, or you just had one come of age who was able to work in the field, they would take a young animal and always mate it in a yoke, which is basically just a piece of wood that you laid across both animals so that they would pull together. You would mate a young, strong, sometimes impetuous, inexperienced, unknowing animal with an experienced, staid animal who knew exactly what to do. And the wonderful example that the Lord Jesus Christ is given is he says, yoke yourself to me. Tie yourself to me. My goodness. Talk about bands of love. If we are to tie ourselves to anyone in this world, if we are to follow after any individual, may it not be a preacher or any great man of God, save the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, this probably would have saved the assemblies a great deal of heartache if we would have maybe read, and I say this first and foremost in my own heart, if we would have read this verse. The only person we're ever called to yoke ourselves to is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we seek to be a disciple to anyone, may it be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, take the yoke on you. Strap yourself to me, and I'll walk with you every step of the way. I don't know if you've ever seen two animals who are yoked together, be it in a press, or be it in the fields, they have to follow one another foot for foot. Otherwise, the work won't get done, and there'll be torsion placed, and you'll just be getting this sort of zigzag motion and a lot of wasted energy. Now, I think of myself. I wonder how many times my feet have been out of step with the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Let's turn that around. In this world, are we meek? Are we lowly in heart? What a tremendous example the Lord Jesus has set forth for us. And he goes on to say, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's true. The work that the Lord Jesus calls us to do, he outfits us in every single fashion necessary. Remember when he sent his disciples out into the highways and the byways all around Judea? And when they came all the way back, he said, did you ever want for shoes? No, they never wore out. How about cloak? Did they wear thin in the cold or get wet and tear in the rain? No. Was there ever any want? No. The Bible tells us very clearly when we're to stand before dignitaries or before those who are important, care not for what thou art to say. the Lord shall guide thee. And everything that we are called to do in the service of the Lord is provided for us. He is our strength. As a matter of fact, the Bible makes it clear. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's not about of what we can do. It's a matter of how much we're willing to yield to His strength. And the Bible says, come unto me. And it says, learn of me. Our time is fast going. Turn over, please, if you would, to the book of John. So we've looked at two things so far. John chapter 15, verse 1. Come unto me. The Lord calls for salvation. Learn of me. The Lord calls for discipleship. John chapter 1 and verse 1, we read this. I am the true vine, speaking himself again. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Abide in me. Now some may say, well, you know, here's the easy part. It's interesting, there's a progression here in the first five verses, and I'll leave it to you. But it goes something like this. Verse 1, the Bible says, if we are to bear fruit, we must realize this principle, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine, and we are His branches. If we are to provide any fruit for God, this is the foundation of all service for Him. That anything we do, anything that we represent, anything we say, must flow directly from the true vine if we are to produce any fruit for Him. Verse 2 tells us, if we are to produce more fruit, pruning is required. Now this is an interesting process. I told you last week that one of the things I enjoy so much about moving down to the Bahamas is the fruit trees that we have in our garden. Pruning is an interesting process. I have a gardener who has taught me a lot. He speaks very little English. I speak no Creole. But we both speak French. So there I am out there in my broken French, and he's in his broken French, and we're trying to communicate. And sometimes I tell him to pick something up and bring it to me, and I get a loaf of bread instead of a machete. But anyhow, we manage. And one day I went out, and I told him to prune this orange tree. And it looked to me like he took off all of the good branches. Everything that was sort of green and full of leaves, he hacked it away. And it was right in the center. It was coming down from the bottom, coming up, going straight up. I said, what are you doing, Matt? He says, no. He says, you see here? He says, it's below. It's below where they've put the two trees together. This will be bitter fruit. No good. Bitter fruit. Sometimes what we want to do is we want to see flash and show and size and magnitude and grandeur and no fruit. And what the Lord wants to do is trim away, cut down all the excess, all the things that aren't needed. But you know, it's painful. Cutting is never easy. Sometimes the things that the Lord prunes away from our lives are things that we don't necessarily want to go. But thankfully, the shears are in the hand of the Master. And we don't have any idea of what should go and what should stay sometimes. But the Lord does. And the Lord leads. And so to bring more fruit, we have the principle of pruning. And finally, in verse 5, it says this, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. And here's the progression. You see, there's fruit when we realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine. And then we can bear more fruit when he purges us. But the pinnacle is when we want to bear much fruit for the Savior. What do we do? Well, it seems the simplest of all, but it really is the hardest. Abide in me. The Lord Jesus Christ will always take up residence in a saved soul and never, ever, ever depart. The Bible knows nothing of provisional salvation. If you are saved once, you are saved to the end of the age, without exception. And I want to be very, very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ can never deny his own, for he would be denying himself. It's an impossibility. Cannot happen. But we can wander. The hymn writer puts it this way, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And sometimes the hardest thing is just to abide in the Lord. To stay where we are. To not be a sheep and to scatter and stray and wander and follow our whims and our fancies. The Bible says, listen, if you want to bring forth much fruit, for your Savior, abide in me. Abide. It's such a simple practice. It's so easy to say. But when we come to Monday morning and we walk out of the door and we meet the world, it's an altogether different proposition, isn't it? Abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. In a coming day, myriads of people in heaven will stand around the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will offer up to him the praise and the worship that is due his name. Three times in Revelation 4 and 5, we hear the cry, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor, and glory, power, and wisdom. In that day, what will you have to give to the Lord Jesus Christ? What will I have to give to him? I know there will be no remorse in heaven, but I wonder how many opportunities I have simply ignored to provide fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll leave these things with you for your prayerful consideration. Abide in me. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, bridegroom speaks. For sake of time, they'll just read the first phrase of verse 8 in chapter 4. Come with me. We've looked at come unto me. We've looked at learn of me. We've looked at abide in me. And now come with me. Here's an interesting thing. We don't have the time to look at this entire passage, but the story is simply this. The bridegroom goes to a particular place and seeks to take his bride back with him to Lebanon, the place where the rivers flow with milk and honey, and the cedars of Lebanon grow tall and proud, a beautiful and fruitful place. And the idea is this, the bridegroom does not send someone out to get his bride, because now she is his bride. I know that there are examples in the Old Testament where there have been stewards who go out and seek the bride. But once the bride is with the bridegroom, once they are together, there's no separating them. That's the principle of Scripture. And so he goes, and he is where she is, and he takes her from that place and takes her to his home. You know, the wonderful thing is, when we are saved, we are with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will never, ever leave us. Come with me. It's not a matter of we are here, and he is in some nebulous place called heaven, and we may have some brief interaction from moment to moment, but we have actual contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. His Spirit resides within us. We are sealed until the day we will finally see him face to face. Come with me. And the wonderful thing is that every step that we take in service for the Lord Jesus Christ, he is right there. It actually flows through every point that we've looked at this morning, foot by foot. The oxen walk together, learn of me. Fruitfulness, abide in me. And fellowship, come with me. And if we truly want to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we want to know more about him, Paul puts it this way, that I may know him. You know, he didn't say these words at the beginning of his ministry. He didn't say these words when that bright light stopped him cold in Damascus, on the road to Damascus. He said these things near the end of his life and the end of his ministry. Isn't that interesting? That I may know him. And the yearning desire of our soul should be to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And if we seek to have this close bind with the Lord Jesus Christ, realize this, dear saint, that he is with us every single step of the way without exception. There are no hiatuses in the Christian life when the Spirit of God leaves. He is always with us. Bible says, I will never, no never, ever forsake you. The Lord was forsaken on Calvary's cross, but we will never be forsaken by our God because of what he did. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I'll go through the last three very briefly. Leave them for your own perusal at another time. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I notice you have quite a few pictures up there. There's a friend of mine up there. I won't call his name for sake of the tape. I'm sure he wouldn't want to be pointed out. But he's a dentist by trade. He's probably one of the quietest men you'd ever want to meet. And I would never, ever, I went to several conferences with him, even when he lived in New Jersey, I would have never pegged him as a missionary. But he heard the cry of this verse. Witness unto me. And now there he is up on your little bulletin board in Spanish Wells. And he's off in some little corner of the world preaching. What about you? What about me? I sat down when I went through this message last night. And I attempted to recall in my mind every person that I had ever had the privilege of directing to the Lord Jesus Christ. All too few. When was the last time that you led a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll never forget the words of a little boy. He was 11 years old. I just directed him to the Savior and he'd made a profession of faith. We were at a camp and this was about day two or day three of the camp. And near the end of the camp session, we talked about witnessing because we wanted the children to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ to their friends when they went home. And he came to me and he was in tears, literally. He was in tears. He was so upset. He says, I can't talk. And indeed, he had a stammer. And he says, I don't know anything about the Bible. He came from a family that, to put it mildly, knew nothing of God's grace. And he says, I know the Bible says I'm supposed to preach the gospel. Now look, this is an 11-year-old boy now, in tears, crying, because he's worried about preaching the gospel. I tell you, that spoke to my heart. And I said to him, I said this, and I turned to this verse. The Bible says you don't have to witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, witness unto me. What we are required to do, dear saint, is go out into the world and tell of what God has done for you and for me. You don't need to know the definition of Calvinism and its 5 points to do that. We don't have to know all the doctrines of Scripture to do that. What did the lame man say? Sorry, the blind man. When the Pharisees pressed him, he says, I don't know much of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but this one thing I know. That whereas I was blind, now I see. And that is what witnessing unto the Lord Jesus Christ is. Simply telling others of what he has done for you and what he's done for me. Number 6, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We won't spend much time on this. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. We'll read verse 23 for connection. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Come unto me, learn of me, abide in me, come with me, witness unto me, and remember me. And the commandment, come unto me, is just as much a commandment as this one is here, remember me. Remember, the Lord's Supper is not an option, dear saint of God. There's no option. It is a commandment, and we are instructed very clearly to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is something between, then it needs to be confessed and put to the side. The Bible says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from every unrighteousness. Remember me. Finally, Luke 23. Luke 23. We'll read verse 39 for connection. Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors who was hanging there railed at him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'll tell you, this verse will take an eternity to unfold. I'll never forget preaching to a Buddhist in college. And he said to me one time after we finished speaking, he says, alright, fine. You're going to see God. But is he going to see you? Not only will we see him, but we will see him face to face. Not dimly, as through a mirror. Clearly, face to face. And he will see you. And you shall be like him, for you will have seen him as he is. And eternity will be spent with the one who loved us unto death. Heaven will be filled with great things, there's no doubt. How can it be that gold is beaten so cleanly that it is transparent? I don't know. How can walls go so high without support? I don't know. How can there be no sun, artificial light in heaven? I don't know. But this I know. The one I love will be there. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. There's no greater comfort. There's no greater peace than flows from this thought that we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Are you coming to join us? Will you be there? Thank God we have a personal Savior. One who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee again for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, which extended to the salvation of our souls. Oh, Father, how deep were the waters tread by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand in deep mire where there is no standing. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. But oh, these words, then I restored that which I took not away. We thank thee for our Savior, and indeed we pray that our hearts, each and every one, would hear his cry, Come unto me. Learn of me, abide in me, come with me, witness unto me, remember me. And, O Father, we long for that day. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Bless us while we part. These things we ask in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen.